Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings football fans, we are back with the Purple People Eaters podcast. Had a little weird start there. My cat kind of freaked out there, but I'm back. Anyway, the Purple People Eaters podcast is live. We are back And we got a lot to discuss, unfortunately. You know, the show, by the way, I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron, will be joining me very soon. Very happy to be back. Well, somewhat happy as a Vikings fan to be back with the Purple People Eaters podcast. Of course, you know, the show's going to start with a quick, and I'm talking quick. I don't want to sit there and rehash all the wounds from Sunday, but we're going to talk shortly about the debacle that was the Buffalo Bills blowout loss, right? So we got to jump on that. What the hell went wrong? I'll tell you what went wrong. Every damn thing went wrong. Okay, so we'll talk about that. We're going to kind of have discussions on the offensive line, more issues there. The running game, when I say struggling, that's an understatement. It's really just porous running game. Some more defensive mental mistakes that we talked about the first couple of games and how they, you know, kind of came up in that Bills game and potentially could, you know, cost us with this Rams game here. Of course, we're going to preview and predict the Minnesota Vikings versus the Los Angeles Rams. That kind of still sounds weird to say, although I do remember when it was LA Rams prior. You know, judging by how our offensive played, the offensive line in general, that defensive line, is there a nightmare coming? Is basically the question. And then, unfortunately, we have to at least touch upon Everson Griffin's issue that's going on right now. We are not going to make light of it. We're not bringing it up for clickbait. But obviously, it's a major thing when one of your biggest pieces to your team, especially defense, is out, especially just away from the team. We really have no timetable. We at least have to discuss it, and we'll kind of update you, because the first handful of hours of this Everson, you know, situation, there was some misleading stuff out there, you know, that he had got arrested and this, that, and the other, and so not to say what happened, you know, there's a clear issue there, but we're going to talk a little bit about it, and then we'll close with a quick Gopher segment. Obviously, the Gopher football team taking two lumps last Saturday, one in the game and yet another solid player for us out for the season, not for a game or two, or, you know, it's rough. It's rough, man. It's really, really rough. It is what it is. Anyway, so we'll end with the Gopher segment. Unfortunately, like I said, we have to start, you know, with this Bills game. My co-host will come in here in just a moment. Aaron, I see him on the switchboard now. And just a couple of stats before we even talk about this. And like I said, it's going to be a quick segment. Me and my co-host don't want to talk too much about the debacle that was the Buffalo Bills just shootout. Loss, by the way. Shutout. It wasn't a shootout, unfortunately. There's a couple of things that rarely happen or never happen. Buffalo being a 16.5 point underdog. I'll say it again, 16.5 points. They were up 27-0 at half. There has never been a road dog for basically catching 10 points or more that shut out the host at half with a lead of over 17. That's a 40-year database, just so you know. And obviously right away, you know, a couple of things come to mind as far as the game, but there is a couple of stats here that I think I have to bring up. It is the largest upset in the league since 1995, 17-point underdog. And we're going to get to this, but the run game, the fewest by any team in NFL history, tied for it, I should say. So we didn't set the record, so, you know, that's we can't even set that record. No, just kidding. I won't pile on. But six rushing attempts, that's, like I said, that's a tie That's a tie for the lowest. As far as the game went, though, I mean, those early turnovers, you know, just killed us. Just killed us. And to the Bills' credit, they did cash in on them and got points. They didn't turn the ball over, you know, themselves. Cousins did kind of decide to run on one play. I don't know if it was a called run or he just decided to run. I can't remember, but that's one of them that came loose. So that's Cousins' fault. The other one I don't believe was Cousins' fault. Overall, though, four fumbles in general. And another thing is the Bills, what they drop it, like two or three? I think it was three times. They had three different fumbles, and we just couldn't recover them. So that wasn't good. But 14 yards rushing, which was the third lowest output in franchise history, they only attempted four designed rushes. The other six were Cousins scrambles, really. So yeah, this is it was bad. I mean, we didn't even take a snap in Buffalo territory to the third freaking quarter. It's uncalled for. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host now. Aaron, it kind of, you know, you can just give your synopsis on the game and what the hell happened. And like you text me after the game, everything, we were wrong about everything. Everybody was wrong about everything, I guess, besides a couple of people that made out like bandits at the sports book. If you had to be like the most hardcore Buffalo Bills fan to pick them to win that game, but it just seemed like everything went wrong that could, and it felt like we just rolled up and said, hey, we're the more talented team, let's just roll this thing out, we're at home. I think we had only given up 19 points tops. That was the top output, I think, 18 or 19 last year. It felt like to me they're like, hey, just blow the whistle, let's get this game going, because we got a game next Thursday. What did you think? This is just another example of, you know, any given Sunday is a cliche for a reason, and talent just doesn't do it because, you know, there's a lot of talented guys out there. You got to show up. What'd you think overall? Give us a little synopsis of the debacle that was the Buffalo Bill blowout loss. Still kind of in shock, Aaron. I'm still kind of in shock.
Yeah, I'm in shock too. I didn't see any of that coming. Hard to tell what the team was thinking or felt before the game. I was shocked. 17-0 at halftime was, I couldn't believe it. And to see Cousins give up two fumbles was uncharacteristic of this team, who usually prides itself on not turning the ball over. I feel like there was something in the air, but, you know, it's hard to put your finger on what it was. So yeah, I was just as shocked as anybody else. Did not see that coming, and it's hard to tell. You know, maybe the guys, like you said, at the sports book saw it, but it's hard to see what they knew that we didn't. But yeah, it was definitely a shocker. Now, going on about maybe some of the reasons why it happened, or just maybe the effects of it. Our offensive line is not playing well. And coupled on that, I know the game got out of hand pretty quick the opposite way. So running the football wasn't probably the best game plan to try to make up for a 17-point lead at the half. But you still got to run the football to keep the defense honest. And it just didn't seem like they were willing or able to do that. A very low rushing total, like you already pointed out. So I'm just really concerned right now about the offensive line, and it just seems like it's a patchwork line of guys that you know, maybe like a Land of Misfit Toys type of situation where, you know, you've got a right tackle playing in the guard position and Elfline coming back off an injury, probably still a little rusty, and the interior of that line is just not holding up. So I don't know, man. I think our neglect for years of maybe not drafting offensive linemen or not going out and getting the top free agents has really caught up with us. Chickens coming home to roost sort of thing. But let's not get down too much on that. Like I said, the game flow of the game, you made it kind of hard to run the ball, but you still have to try a little bit. Just to keep the defense honest and working out. The defense, you know, they were on the field way too much. And they're always better when they play with a lead. And you rarely see them without a lead, so it's kind of interesting to see. Plus, we're young in the secondary, and McKenzie gave up a couple good passes there. So, you know, it's just really hard to tell where to go from here as far as that offensive line. You want them to come out and show good against L.A., but, you know, like you said, let's kind of wipe the slate clean on this one, maybe move on. Just hard to really tell with the Everson situation and things like that, you know, where they were going into the game, as far as where their head was, and, you know, maybe they did overlook, or maybe they didn't, maybe they just got their butts kicked. It's just really hard to tell, but overall, I just think it's a very uncharacteristic game for this version of the Minnesota Vikings.
That's a good way to put it, this version, the Zimmer version. You know, I guess once a year it kind of happens. A couple years ago, the Colts came in and just walloped us. I remember that game late in the season. Last year, you know, the conference final, not a good time to take that butt whooping. We took another one here. Hopefully it's just that. We do have to keep it all in perspective. I think that's important. Sidetrack here, but still Minnesota. That's important when we're talking about the Wolves, too. We got to keep it all in perspective for the 4 to 6 year range, but that's a different show. That, by the way, is coming a little bit later in the year. Once football winds down, we're going to be doing a Minnesota basketball show as well. But, you know, I agree. I mean, 55 times slinging the ball, I guess that's just too many. Obviously we're not in college. We're not running that type of system. And we got too good of a defense to do that. But you're right. I mean, I still think you got to run the ball to an extent. I think, yeah, you're not going to run it all the time, but you got to run it. I don't care if you're down 17-0 either, because you had Boone with 2 carries. Murray with 2 carries, 1 yard. Cousins had 2 carries for 2 yards. Like, now, they did get the pass game going in the second half to an extent. Most of it was short passing. Thielen somehow got to his 114 catches, which that's just Thielen. That's how he does it. But on the other side of things, you know, Allen, I got to give him a little props. He wasn't asked to do much, 15-22, 196. That's not lighting up the world, but he didn't turn the ball over. I guess you could say they didn't turn the ball over, technically. They did put the ball on the ground 3 times, but, hey, they got him back. They managed a solid all-around running game with the quarterback and Ivory, got to a 128, and just outplayed us. I think you're right about that time of possession to a tune of, I'm going to get it ready, 35-24. That's huge, especially in the league. And they had 12 penalties to our 6. The 3 turnovers, especially early, especially cashing it in, too. I think that was no doubt key for them in general. But, yeah, man, it's just let's just hope, you know, that it was just a one-time type deal as far as getting your ass kicked, especially at home. That really, I guess, is the shocker to me. Well, the whole thing's a shocker, but the added incentive and, like I said, for anybody that put money on the Bills, you know, I want to know who else you're putting money on. Because my guess is it's kind of like back in the day, Aaron, when we just, you know, in 9th grade and 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, you just put the Gophers to the Final Four. That's just how you did it because you're, you know, it's your home squad. I don't really think too many people pick the Bills to win outright. Now, I'm sure some people snuck under that spread, and we even looked at it going 17 points. That's a lot in the league, in the NFL, you know what I mean? But, yeah, you just can't roll them out and say, hey, we got the turnover or we got the talent. This thing's going to take care of itself. So, yeah, let's put that thing to bed. Now, obviously, like you said, the offensive line, you know, I thought I was nitpicky about the running game the last couple weeks. I almost said Marshall because that's my other co-host. Aaron, I thought I was being a little nitpicky. I got to admit, I was like, wow, you know, I mean, we didn't run the game or ball, you know, that well the second game. And I kind of thought I was just nitpicking. I mean, it's pretty early in the season, but after Thursday night, it's early, plenty of football to play after, you know, with 12 games left after Thursday, but you are a fourth of the season, and it's really starting to scare me with this run game. Now, obviously, if you can get Cook back, that helps, but it's not like we struggled mightily without him last year either. I see, like you said, the interior for run defense, I see a lot, you know, an issue there, or run offense, I guess you could say. But the tackles in those edges seem to be running a lot more free than they did last year. Maybe down the line last year as the season wore on, but for a good chunk of it, the tackles seem to play a tad better. And as we know, if you've been a Minnesota Vikings fan the last 3 years, the tackle position, I mean, 2 years ago we went through, what, six of them, seven of them? It was a record, but just anemic run stats here. We have to be able to run the ball, and you got to stick with it. Like you said, you do have to stick with it to an extent, or even when you're down, you gotta try. And I guess I thought I was being a little nitpicky when it came to the defensive chunk plays, mental mistakes, but we're starting to see some mental mistakes more than we're used to. And they're finding some running room. They're finding big plays to the tight end. Not many of them, I'll say that. But, you know, as we kind of make our way to previewing this Ram game that's just, you know, about 30 hours away, give or take, you know, if we're going to have this many problems in a game, and obviously we're not going to turn the ball over that quick, knock on wood, but in the game, you know, on Thursday, but I just see the defense. They got a good defensive front. The front seven for the Bills actually is kind of legit, but I mean, coming into LA now, you go, wow, what are we going into here? What are we going into? But before we get to some of the keys to that game and potential issues that we do see, and we'll take a look at last year's game, not that it matters a whole lot, but at least take a gander at it and see what we were able to do in general to get the 24-7 victory. I think real quick, we're not doing this for clickbait. Like I mentioned, we got to talk about Everson Griffin, though. The last couple of days, people around him have said that he's been acting not himself. Sleep. He's been having problems sleeping the last couple of days. That's well reported. Now, it was also reported that he was arrested, and a variety of things were reported that were not true. At the hotel lobby, you know, on Saturday night, he was pacing around. He did get into it with somebody. He did not have a gun on him, which was reported at some point. But he did, you know, he did threaten to assault some people at, you know, the staff at the hotel. He also was just laying down on the lobby floor. And then, you know, there was also reports that he broke into some random person's house and threatened them, and he did go into a house he shouldn't have, Trey Wayne's house. They weren't that close. The reports say that they're not that close to where he can just walk on in and scare people, and that's what happened. There's also a report that's legit anyway that, you know, when they were taking him in the ambulance to a mental facility, to the hospital, they had to stop because there must have been a dead deer or something, but the vehicle stopped, and he actually was really paranoid and thinking someone's trying to kill him, he said. This is the quotes anyway. So much so that he tried to run away, not attack anybody there, just run away. And they talked him down, and they were able to get there. I think the Vikings are handling it how they should. You got to stay away from the facility until we can, you know, check your mental health. And that's where he is right now, a mental facility. Supposedly, you know, his wife, well, not supposedly, his wife did say that he should be back on some meds. There is some reports, and this is where it's a little vague, but it would make sense that this summer he was on some different medication that he didn't like how it physically depleted him, which obviously, you know, his line of work, his business, what he makes his bread and butter from, you know, that can be an issue. And so the last couple of days, I don't know if it's the last couple of weeks he was off, or maybe he went to his old ones. That's where it's a little vague. I don't want to get too detailed on that. Some people are speculating, is this early signs of CTE? You never really know. We're not going to sit there and tell you what it is. But right now, there's no timetable. And it's just a Minnesota thing. And I'm really worried about Everson Griffin as a person, not a player per se. Obviously, you go, wow, that's one of our biggest, you know, pieces to the team. He's also has the energy. Everybody loves the guy. And that's why you see a lot of people saying, hey, the last couple of days, you know, he hasn't been himself. Some people think, Aaron, I'm going to pass you, just give your thoughts on this or whatever, but some people think he's played his last down for the Vikings. Some people think he's going to be done this season. I really don't know. There's no timetable. We really don't know. My point is, though, I will say this. As Minnesota Vikings fans, we've seen plenty of things crumble. That's kind of our thing. The Timberwolves feel like they're crumbling right now, even a year into something that was supposed to revive the franchise for years to come. We come off a horrendous loss, and now we potentially have another horrendous loss. So the negativity kind of piles on, and not to say he could be done for us forever. He could be done for the season. I don't know, but I'm not ready to, you know, jump off the cliff just yet on that. But to me, if he was in a good enough mental state, let's say 5 days ago, a week ago, my guess is he can get back to that place. But I just hope, you know, from a person perspective rather than just a player perspective, that he's okay. Have you heard anything new today? What's your thoughts about this? And what are you thinking as a Vikings fan right now? It just seems like, wow, this is just a season that could have potentially ended the Super Bowl is starting to just dwindle before our face. Of course, we were 2-2 last year, and I forgot to mention that. We were 2-2 last year, guys, so keep faith. But what's your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, yeah, it's a tough one. You know, clearly a psychotic episode. Now, I don't know. You gave me a lot of information that I didn't have previously as to some of the behavior. You know, his thoughts go out to him and his family and his kids, and you know, first and foremost, you want to make sure that's settled and in a good place, and then go on to football. You know, I'm inclined to believe that it's probably the last we'll see of him in a Viking uniform. We might see a few things this season, but you know, Zimmer's got a kind of quick trigger on things, and he's not one to put up with much for too long. So plus they're all, you know, into having a good family locker room and so on. So I'm sure they'll support Everson as much as he needs it. I don't know. I didn't know that the house was Trey Wayne's house, but regardless, it's just a really sensitive situation, and you don't want to say too much about it just because, like I said, it's a lot of information you just gave that I didn't have previously. It just sounds like it's a really rough time for him, and you'd just like to, you know, send out your support on a personal level and let the football be the football. It's a sticky situation. Going forward, I think the Vikings have enough depth at the position to at least field a decent defense moving forward. So we just hope that him and his family handle this well, the Vikings handle it well, and we all come through in a good spot personally and as well as the football side of the situation. You know, you just feel for a guy who obviously has thrown his life into his profession. And, you know, whether it was a meds thing where he didn't take his meds or he did take meds or he got new meds or this has been an ongoing issue.
Right.
I think I heard somebody say he has a bipolar disorder, which, you know, I don't know a heck of a lot about that, but I assume that's not fun to deal with. And you can kind of understand if he's getting hyped up for games and so on. I remember after the Saints playoff game and the quote-unquote miracle happened, his reaction was a little bit strange, you know, but I guess you don't really think too much of it at the time, but now
yeah,
it kind of flashes
right
back into my head.
Now you add it
you
together
know, like,
and you go, wow, yeah, that's a good call,
yeah,
dude. That's a really good call,
yeah,
man.
So, you know, I guess, you know, our thoughts and wishes go out to his family and hopefully that whatever issues he has, he's able to get under control and go forward with the rest of his life and see what happens in football after that. Other than that, I really don't have a heck of a lot to say about it. Just, you know, wish him well and get ready for the Rams and see what we have. I know they have Weatherly as a candidate to fill that position. I'm sure, first and foremost, they'll move Hunter over to his spot, and then you got to fill out the other side. So there's a few guys. There's Bauer, who I like a lot. He's probably the guy I like the most to fill in that spot. He's flashed a lot. He hasn't got a lot of playing time, but he's flashed a lot. You've got Jalen Holmes. Now, I think he's nicked up a little bit, but I'm not sure about that. He might be better now. But they drafted him out of Ohio State, and they seem to like him a lot. And then there's Stephen Weatherly, who played well last week. So one of those three guys, or all of them, should be able to hold down that other side in a decent manner. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is. You got to wish him well and, you know, move on from there.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It'll be a committee. You know, this guy's better at that. We'll play him on first down, that type of thing. Tom Johnson might get into the fold at end, potentially, I guess you could say, if we were, you know, kind of saving him for third down, maybe he'll be good at the run on first down. I don't really know, but, yeah, there is some depth there. And you know, B-Rob. You know, B-Rob might come back now, potentially, because he's still not signed. And, you know, it's not a I told you so or nothing like that, not to you, but just in general, when we did, you know, when I thought, you know, when we cut B-Rob, it was like, Robinson's pretty good, man. And he's good for depth. He's not making a lot of money, but at least he hasn't been signed. So he's got to be on the radar beyond that. And, yeah, you're right about Everson Griffin. It's really open. It could be his last down. Could be a couple of weeks he gets back. It could be something where he's getting scanned right now and CTE pops up. You just never know what the hell, you know, the tendencies anyway towards that. I know it's hard to detect, but, yeah, it's a variety of stuff. You know, you never know. It could be, I mean, it's a little different because of where it went, but let's remember about a year, year and a half ago, Tiger Woods was pulled over and he couldn't even barely open his eyes. Now, had Tiger kept driving, he could have maybe stopped and been confused and went into somebody's house too. You never know. Now, the other stuff, you know, that's more of a medication thing and a painkiller thing. Whereas this stuff, this is, you know, it sounds like paranoia. So that obviously adds a layer, but let's put this to bed. Let's not talk about it too much. Like I said, I definitely don't want it any kind of clickbait. Before we get to the Rams game coming up in, like I said, about 30 hours, if this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, you can check it out live right here at blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. We stream it live and it archives there. It's also available on iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, Spreaker, tune in. Basically, anywhere you listen to pods, we are available. We're also part of the Grilling Truth Sports Podcast Network. They're available everywhere. You can actually stream the show on Spotify and iHeartRadio through the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. You can read an article, you can listen to a podcast there, and you can place a bet right there. It'll send you right to mybookie.ag. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. And I'll tell you what, it would have been nice to head on over to mybookie.ag and put a little bit of change on the Bills sneaking under that 17, 16 points. I'll say that. So here we are. Here we are. Issues with one of our star players coming off just an ass whooping. Heading into a game that potentially is against the second best. It may end up being the first best. Who really knows in the NFC? They could get beat by the traveling team in the Los Angeles Rams. If you look at last year, we contained Goff, the young player. He threw a fair amount of passes but didn't do a lot of damage. And the key was we really contained Gurley. I mean, we shut Gurley down. It was actually very impressive. They only had, 45 yards overall. So that was key. A lot of first downs. We kept the ball a long time, 27-15 when it came to that. They were 3-11 on third down. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up that I didn't put in the topics because I forgot. Third down play. That has been an issue on offense. A little bit on defense, but really offense. Even if, you know, you just get the ball to midfield, you know, off a couple of first downs so you can get, you know, you can get at least some momentum there and you know, trap them back, you know, kick it deep, or punt it deep, I should say, whatever. They kick the ball, I guess. And, you know, let the defense play and let the defense – you know, do what it does. It was a tight game. It ended up 24-7, but it was a tightly contested game. But that's another thing that I wanted to bring up that I didn't was third down offense too. It's not a good look. We're struggling there. We got to keep some of these drives alive, even if it's a field goal. You never know what a drive can be. It could be a touchdown. Could be a field goal. It could just be field position. Whatever it is. We got too much talent. Even if it's just a West Coast short passing system, that's fine. Just get something. Talib, the cornerback, is out for at least a month. We don't really care how long he's out per se, but we just care that Thursday night he's not. The front seven, based off how we've been running the ball this year. And obviously the last 2 weeks, last week we went over the stats. It's horrendous. It's horrific. It's disgusting, point blank. It's hard to be positive about the run game, Aaron, heading into a defensive line that loves to create nightmares. Now, on the back end, they're young and a little dumb, and they do have some injuries. So we got to exploit them that way, but what's your thought process heading in as we preview this damn Rams game? And the stats for the traveling team in the NFL on a Thursday night is really scary too. Just to add, just to squeeze a little bit more lemon into that open wound from the last couple of days for Vikings fans, unfortunately. But what's your thought process heading into this game, knowing we haven't ran the ball well? And here we are against one of the best defensive lines in the league.
Yeah, it's a daunting proposition. I think, you know, you got to run the football. If there's ever a game that you're going to need to run the football, this is the game. You've got a strong, dominant defensive line with Ndamukong Suh and the other guy, what's his name, Aaron Donald. these guys are strong inside, and that's kind of the weakness of our offensive line. And, you know, I feel a lot better coming downhill on them, running the football, trapping them, making them work for it, than just going back into pass protection and letting them just bull rush you. I think it's, you got to run the football, and even if it's not successful first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, you start to lean on them, and you got to keep leaning on them and run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Keep Goff and the offense off the field and just run the football. I don't trust DeFilippo to do that. He's shown that he likes a lot of motions and jet sweeps and all kinds of cute things that, you know, this is not the game for that. This is a game for you line them up, we line them up, and we're just going to come at you. And that's the only way I see us really having any success against that defensive line, is just keep pushing the ball and keep running the ball and eating the clock. You know, defensively, it's interesting, too. I know they have – are both their corners out or just the one? I know Robinson – last I heard it was Robinson and Tlaib are both out, which means that they go with the guys they probably had last year if they still have them on the squad. We had a decent – Thielen had a good game. I think Diggs had a good game. So if you're going to – you know, first and second down, Chris, you run the ball and – you know, you're getting third and six, third and seven. You just try to throw 7-8 yard passes. Really go back to like a true West Coast offense where you're using the pass to be another version of the run. You get Cook on the outside. You get him in check downs. Put him in screens. That's another good way to beat that defensive line. So I think these guys obviously know a lot more about it than I do, but I think that's probably going to be in the game plan. A few screens. Check downs, get rid of the ball if you're going to throw it, and then just run the ball, just come at them. We do a lot of zone blocking. I don't know how successful that's going to be. I think you need pulling guards in this one. It's just that's the way I think you win. You win this game 17-10, 17-13, something like that, and you just run the football, keep their offense off the field. Not because I think it's a powerful offense and something our defense can handle. I just think you need to get at those two guys in the middle and just keep making them work and work and work. And hopefully something will pop in the third or fourth quarter. As far as their defense goes, I don't see a lot that scares me. We handled Goff last year. I know we had a couple plays like the Cooper Kupp fumble. That was a big play that really turned the game. Thought they had success right away in the first quarter. But yeah, my concern is if we have any semblance of an offensive line, they need to show it this week. And the way to do that is just run the football at them and hope for the best. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you summed up a lot of points there in Peters. Natson had a broken hand. Farrell Cooper as well. They are definitely – he's a punt returner, Natson. But they actually have more injuries than I even knew. And you know what? The kicker is sidelined with a groin injury as well, as I said earlier with Tlaib as well. He's actually scheduled to have surgery on Thursday, so we know he's not playing. You're right, though. Flip, the offensive coordinator, he does look a little cute right now. Now, is he protecting an offensive line that he's a little afraid of? Maybe, but, we're not afraid of this offensive line because our last couple of years have been horrendous offensive lines. Last year it improved to an extent. It definitely got better last year. It struggled down the stretch a little bit, but much better than the previous year. So we've seen, we've been able to still run the ball to an extent in that time. So, yeah, however you get it done, like you said, just third down, you got to be 50%, 45% on third down, whether it's running, whether it's short passing, like you said, let's run the West Coast. I don't care, but we got to get the job done. And their offense has put up big numbers, but it's not like they have just a ton of dudes. So, like you said, we actually were able to contain Gurley, and last year anyway. Now, this year's a whole brand new year, brand new game, but yeah, I don't know. A lot of the cornerback depth is – here's actually the depth. Sam Shields, who was a pretty damn good corner, solid corner for Green Bay for a handful of years. He actually played most his time at Miami, the Miami Hurricanes. He played wide receiver, switched his last year. A guy named Troy Hill and Nickell Roby Coleman. That's going to be their cornerbacks heading into the game. So not a lot of talent there. Like you said, they're kind of young and dumb besides Shields on the back end of that defense. But as we know, the importance can be the front four and front seven in general, but especially that front four. And, in the middle, the lack of run game, the lack of push, and then the tackles at times, sometimes they're okay, sometimes they're decent. Other times the guy's coming free. It's a blind side. A Cousin's going to get crushed. So, yeah, man, I agree. The running game, however, the whole West Coast offense started with, well, it's a five-yard pass, so it's kind of like a five-yard run. Who cares? However we get the job done, we need to hold the ball. I definitely am with you there. And that's one of the keys to last year's victory. No doubt about it. When you look at the numbers and kind of look back at there, the mental mistakes, everybody's got to be on their game. And I do kind of feel like, Zimmer's teams off of losses have been pretty good. Like I said, to have the season 13-3 that we had last year and to start out 2-2 tells you something there, and especially in the two losses where you're like, dude, what is going on in some of those games, especially offensively? But the mental mistakes on defense, we have to tighten that up. We have to stop the run. We have to put it in Goff's hands to try to chuck it 40-some-odd times, and we have to get pressure, man. And I don't know. I really don't know. Like I said, it's not like his offensive weapons, Goff's offensive weapons, are just phenomenal. Robert Woods is developing. Cook's been here for a while in the league. He's solid, and obviously Gurley, he seems like the second coming of a top five guy at times. He really does, considering the knee injuries he had as well. But I don't know, man. Like you said, we got to hold on to the ball. That'll be one. I mean, not just hold on to the ball. We can't obviously have the turnovers that we did last week. But, yeah, time of possession. And we can't get past the 50 with, 4 minutes into the third quarter, or 6 minutes actually into the third quarter. We'll be down way worse. And quite frankly, we could have been down even further if you look at it. So, I don't see the Vikings winning this game. I do think we'll lose. When I looked at it, as far as like just kind of going through the schedule, I did count this as an L. Vegas has this as a 7-point underdog. There's clearly distractions this week to an extent. How much? I don't know. Like you said, Zimmer's pretty good at containing that stuff and moving on. He'll be like, what? I don't even care about my eye. That's just him. excuse me. But last week, the Rams seemed beatable. No doubt about it. I saw some holes in that, but the first 2 weeks, they did look pretty damn good. So I don't know. I don't like our chances in this game to win. But that's not the, I thought we were going to easily win last week. So, and I thought the Gophers are going to lose to Fresno. So who knows? We also thought, and we're going to get into this in a moment, that the Gophers would be able to sneak one away from Maryland. That wasn't the case either, was it?
Well, let's.
What are your thoughts here? What are your thoughts on the prediction?
Let's hold.
Piggyback.
Let's hold on a minute here. Pump the brakes. We're still a pretty darn good football team. Last week was last week. As much as I want to go down the Loserville spiral and starts all is lost, this team has a tendency to circle the wagons and come out fighting, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I like them this week, not by much, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say they win this game.
just for the fact that, you know, they're on a short week. They're on the road. That'll bond them together. They got a purpose, you know. Whatever they thought they were, they know they're not. And they got to go back on and earn it. And Zimmer's always been a, you know, he likes to work as an underdog more than a favorite. So, you know, he tends to circle his team around and get them fired up. And these are two good football teams going at it. Should be a great game. Win or lose, I'm inclined to think that we pull this one out. I think we run the ball. I think we eat the clock. I think we play good defense, sound defense. Yeah, there's some concerns. I'm not a big fan of Mackenzie Alexander in the slot. I think I don't know if he's got the mentality to cover everything. We're giving up a lot to tight ends that are coming out of the slot. Another thing that I've heard this week that gives me a little bit of, you know, thought is, and I don't know if you've heard it or not, but people tend to think, or there's a impression out there that after the Saints second half last year and the Philadelphia game, that people have solved Zimmer's defense and they know how to beat it. You know, if it wasn't for the Buffalo Bills coming in and kicking our butt, I probably wouldn't give it much credence. But now I'm starting to think, well, maybe that's true. Maybe, you know, maybe Mike needs to, you know, do some tweaking on his scheming. It's, you know, teach an old dog new tricks. I'm not sure that's possible. But, you know, maybe you start to see that three safety package, and maybe you start to see some differences in rushing and blitzing, and you know, because you got to do something about it, because they keep – it's not like 1 week – it's ever since week one we've seen the tight end get loose. We've seen guys in the slot get loose. Now, it's hard to tell if that's the scheme or if that's – you're playing Mackenzie Alexander and Mike Hughes, two young players with not a lot of experience in there. And, the, you know, you go – your offensive coordinator, you're going to go at those guys. So they're getting tested a lot. So somebody's got to step up and make plays in the slot, even if you've got to move you know, player back or bring Terrence up or do something. But you got to – that's a hole you got to get filled. But I feel like, and like I said, I go on a lot of gut feelings, and that's all I can do. I feel like they're going to go down there, play a heck of a game, and win this one. Now, could I be wrong? Absolutely. But that's my gut feeling. And, yeah, I don't necessarily know if I'd go to the bookie with it, but it's something that I feel like, you know, win by three, win by seven, something like that. The Rams are at home. You know, it's a road. They're already down there. The Vikings are already down there. They left last night. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm going with the Vikings, probably 3 or 7 points.
I agree with you, though, on the bounce back. He's always bounced back, and I'm – although, in a chuckle when you said it, it is true. Coming off of last week, it does make me go, man, maybe there is some credence to Zimmer's, you know, schemes or whatever. But I disagree with that sentiment. I'm with you. I think it's been mental mistakes. I think they've been in fine position. I don't. He's great at what he does, and I'm not ready to – I think it's been more of a player personnel type thing and just a mental mistake. And I'm just going off percentages, but the bounce back, though, you are right. And as far as Zimmer as a coach, and like I said, I even mentioned that earlier when I said, you know, if you look at his track record after the losses, it's pretty damn good. It really is. And – you hit it on the nose. He loves the underdog. He can coach out of the underdog position like few. I mean, obviously that's kind of – you'd rather have that in a sense as a coach. Now, you don't want to always be the underdog. You know, you want to not be the underdog all the time or nothing like that. But if you can play that, you know, that card, you're going to. You know, that's what you'd like anyway. And Zimmer is a master at it. I'm more looking at it, so I would actually go to the books for the 7-point spread. You know, I would go there. I think we can sneak under it. I think it'll be a grinded out game. I think the Vikes will lose by less than 7. I think it'll be a very close game. I'm just going with the numbers. It's not emotion or anything. I'm just going with the numbers that the traveling team in the NFL on a Thursday night, doesn't necessarily bode well. But, yeah, I could see it like 27, 23, 24, something like that. And who knows? I mean, with their kicker kind of messed up, you know, it could help us. A kicker could actually help us on the opposite side. But real quick, before we go to the Gophers, what are your thoughts here on this? Well, I mean, I've had thoughts, and we both had thoughts for a long time about the hitting of an NFL quarterback. But now, this year, they added a layer. And as if there wasn't enough freaking layers. As if the strike zone wasn't, you know, little enough. Now they got to shrink the strike zone, and they got to shrink the bat, too. You know what I mean? It's like you can't even – you got one of those – the first 1,000 to show up to the ballpark, those little bats, that's the bat now you got, too. So it's just ridiculous. And, you know, Clay Matthews, you know, the scoop, the little scoop, even if you don't put your weight on the quarterback now, when you dump him, you can't even kind of scoop him to make sure you got his legs. You know, but yet you lose your job if you let a guy go loose when you had a sack. You know, that's what really kills me here. But Clay Matthews, from 2009, Aaron, to 2017, had four roughing the passer penalties. He has three already. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll take it in our game. You know, that helped us. I'm not going to sit there and say it didn't. But what are your thoughts here? What the hell are your thoughts when it comes to – an already shrunken strike zone, you can't even throw a strike if you wanted to now, it seems. This is just getting ridiculous, man.
I could not agree with you more. What are you going to do? I mean, all right, so let's break it down inch by inch here. We've got the NFL. They want to protect their business. So quarterbacks are their business. I can understand that. You want to protect them. Fine. So you want to – they keep making these rules against the defense. When are they going to make a rule against that hinders the offense? It just doesn't – they want points. They want quarterbacks. This all started with the Rodgers injury last year, Anthony Barr, who was a clean hit, and guy broke his collarbone. We all know the story. And now the Packers are complaining about whether or not their guys are roughing passers or not when they wanted the rule to begin with. Clay Matthews, neither of those
hits. That's a good point.
Neither of those hits were anything that us growing up, that's just a good sack. Probably a little light, probably could have went a little harder, you know. But he did back off. So, in your head, the strike zone keeps shrinking. Now you can't hit the quarterback. You got to hit the quarterback from the waist up and the shoulders, just basically the baseball strike zone. And if you don't roll off him or let him go, well, what about guys like Cam Newton who, you know, will just spin off that and
right.
go for 30 yards? Or Ben Roethlisberger, you know, guy will just stiff arm you and you're gone. You got to be able to make good solid contact and get him to the ground. Now, how are they supposed to do that? You can't go to the knees. You can't take their legs out. So you really put defenses in a very tough situation. As Zimmer said it in the beginning of the season, that this is going to cost people their jobs. It's going to – you got to call now. The one against – the Clay Matthews one against us was clearly a makeup call because they flagged Kendricks in the, like, second quarter for it, which was more horrendous than Matthews hit. I mean, basically – Kendricks doesn't hit anybody hard. He just tackles them. And they give a roughing the passer on that. So they got to make up for it, and I think that's what they did. And then this, I didn't watch the game where Matthews got flagged again, but I did see the hit, and there was nothing wrong with that hit. And, you know, he didn't even – he kind of rolled off at the end. It's a ball – it's a whole ball of wax. Like, you know, they – moving forward, they either have got to change the rule or they've got to – clearly define it, and they've failed to do either at this point. So everybody, what do you do now? You send Hunter in. He's, you know, got a deadline for the quarterback, what do you tell him to do? You know, do you pop him with your shoulder and just let him fall by himself? Do you pop him with the shoulder, wrap him up, and kind of spin him? What are they supposed to do? Tell them what they're supposed to do and then flag them if they don't do it. But they're even failing to do that at this point. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. And they've got to make a change. And, you know, a lot of times I think they're going to, or they'll just back off on the calls. But I don't see it happening this time. They're too concerned about the injuries going forward and whether your mom's going to let your kid play football anymore. You know, that's a tough position. And so, I don't see it changing this season, but it'd be nice if they define it. I think we'd end the conversation there. But, you know, that, I don't think – maybe they like the controversy of it. You know, is it a penalty? Is it not a penalty? And it goes on and on. So, yeah, I just obviously don't like it, don't understand it, and, you know, want some kind of definition and clarity on what's a penalty and what's not a penalty.
Yeah, man. I mean – you're right. The defining – they cannot define their league in general. I mean, we still don't know what the fuck a catch is because it keeps changing. And now, you know,
like 3 years
the catch
now.
Rule, I mean, it's just – it's getting silly. And we know they're trying to protect their assets. But like you said, you know, the only offensive rules that they kind of changed was you can't bear down with your helmet straight down – to the chest of somebody anymore. Although you still see it. They don't call it all the time. But yeah, for years now, the offensive, can we get a defensive, you know, penalty change? Cause this is just getting silly. What were you going to say?
Well, that's even more egregious. The offensive player, is he supposed to just take a hit? Let's say Sendejo is coming down with his missile, like tackling tactics. Are you not supposed to protect yourself against that hit? And isn't, you
right.
know, tucking your head, it's, I've always tucking your head into your shoulder pads and taking that hit. That's part of playing. These running backs, they're not getting flagged on it. I mean, Adrian Peterson used to just lower his head and plow people, which would be a penalty now, I think. I don't know. Maybe since he's a star, quote unquote, maybe that's not a penalty. Maybe he's grandfathered in some way. You know, I think we talked about this the first show about going back to – I think they're slowly working their way back to, like, these leather helmets and making it more of like a rugby-style game. I mean, that's just speculation, obviously. But if you're going to play football, it's – everybody understands that there's a certain amount of violence and risk in it, and you really can't take that out without completely changing the game. Now, if they want to completely change the game, come out and say it. If you don't want to completely change the game, you know, quit yanking our chain. We see what's going on.
Right.
The only offensive rule, I think, that piggyback on what you were saying was defensive pass interference has kind of changed a little bit. Now you can't touch these guys, like going down the field, turn your head, be in position, but you can't touch them. Outside of that 5 yards, which that's not as controversial of a rule because that has been the rule. It's just being more enforced. And so maybe that's an offensive advantage that's come in the last few years. But, yeah, the catch rule, let's not even go down that road. That's a whole other ball, you know.
That's a whole different show.
Right.
The whole episode.
Playoff games have switched on them. Dez Bryant's catch and all that.
I still can't believe that. Yeah. The mother effer took 3 steps. He jumped with his 3rd step, but yet he didn't make a football move. What the hell is a football move? If you got pads on, you got cleats and a helmet, anything you do on the field is a football move. That's just how it goes. We got to pick up the pace a little bit because I do have to work. I just looked at the time. Real quick, the Gophers. Now, this is how it is in Loserville. This is how it goes in Loserville. You think you have a bad week out there, sports fan. Yeah, good luck. Let me see your week and compare it to our week. Our Vikings got trounced. One of our best defensive player and really one of the heart and souls of our team the last five, six years, Everson Griffith, is having some issues. And, you know, we definitely – prayers and thoughts and all that good stuff definitely goes out to his family and him, and we hope he sees it through. But then also, oh, by the way, the Gophers got their ass kicked by an option team. And the quarterback only had to throw the ball 14 times, 10 of 14 for a 117 and a touch. 200, not one, 200-yard rushers. And the crazy thing is, one of the – I mean, both of them had – one of them had 11 for a 123, and the other had 6 for 122. They had – like 9 dudes carry the ball. But, you know, when you run in the option, that, you know, that happens. Maybe not that many. But we struggled mightily. And the one thing you can't do, and I was worried about this with the youth, because option, as we know, this is your gap, this is your gap. Do not get out of what your job is. You have to worry about this. Don't go reading anything else. Worry about this. It's disciplined defense when you're facing an option team, especially one that does it pretty well. But you can't get behind an option team. When you get behind in an option team, bad, bad, bad things happen. And they went down, scored a touchdown right away. What did we do? Offense didn't respond, 3-and-out. Defense responded a little bit, but the offense – basically a 5-play, 3 yards, then we just give them the ball. 2 plays, touchdown. You're down 14-0. Before you know it, you're down 21-3, and it's just – it's ridiculous. An interception led to another touchdown, well, pick six. Then, you know, we managed to have some sustained drives and get a field goal, or we turn it over. A lot of intercept. We just played like garbage. And I remember both of us saying that we don't see, you know, us getting blown out, even if we were to lose. And, you know, it's just one of those things, the style matchup when you get down on an option team. Just give me your synopsis of what happened. And, oh, by the way, this is Loserville. Antonio Winfield Jr. is done for the season. Out, out, out. Benny Sapp from Florida, by the way, the third. Gotta love the kid. And Jordan Howe, true freshmen, will be filling in along with, Chenault or whatever his name is, the senior quarterback, who's gotten plenty of playing time over the years. But just kind of a quick synopsis of the game. We do have a bye week, so we don't have to, thank God we don't have to talk about the game next week. But what were your thoughts here, man? Because you get behind an option team, bad things happen.
Yeah, I saw this coming. Now, not this week, but I thought to myself, how would I go about beating the Gophers? And I thought to myself, I would confuse them. They're young, they've got no experience, and they're just out there, you know, playing with their hearts. So I thought to myself, I would run motions, I would run option, I would run anything I could to confuse them, and that's exactly what Maryland did. I think they had a great game plan going in. You know, I was surprised that the three previous teams didn't do that before. You know, they're young kids. They haven't seen a lot. So just throw a bunch of motions at them. Throw a bunch of options. Make them stay home. Do a lot of, you know, misdirection. Keep them going. Change the pursuit. All that. Just that's what I would do. And that's exactly what Maryland did. And as I knew it, that 14-0, I knew, okay, this guy, whoever the coach is, I think Matt Canada or something. I knew it was coming. I didn't know it was coming that week. I thought maybe when we got into Michigan and Iowa that that's what they would do. It just seems like the obvious thing to do. Plus, the kids went on the road for the first time. So we talked a little bit about that last week that we thought maybe, you know, it's possible they go in there and lay an egg. Now, like I said, I didn't see it coming this week, but that's what happened. I think all of it, you know, combined, the whole was greater than the sum of its parts, and we just got our butts kicked down there. Now, is that really a good excuse for giving up that much in the run? I mean, you made a couple Heisman candidates in one game. Like 10 rushes. What is it? 10 rushes for 190 yards or something like that. Just giving up 80-yard runs, things like that. That's where your safety's not playing well. And, you know, you're just getting gashed. So I really feel like it's a combination of nerves and a really good game plan. Now, going forward, you got to get these kids up to speed because you think Maryland, you know, did that. Now everybody's going to try to confuse you. And you go up against a team talented, like, let's say, a Michigan or something like that. Not that you had a big chance to win, but let's try to keep it under 62 points, you know, going against Michigan. So, you got to get them up to speed on their reads and their fills and so that they don't get confused like that. So I really thought Maryland did a great job of game planning against us. And, you know, let's just hope that we can get that fixed. Now, it's going to take time and experience, and that's just something that takes time and experience. So Winfield, you know, Chris, 3 years now, you get a couple games out of him, and then he's out for the season. Is it three or two? I'm not sure. It's
two.
Too many. What do you do?
It feels
do you just
like
go
three,
on
but it's
and,
two.
Yeah, and you, at some point, you just don't you have to just say, okay, we're not going to, you know, we got to go on without him. You know, we think he's going to redshirt and come back next year, but boy, at some point, you know, what do you, how do you handle that? You can't keep getting, he's going to be a 7 year senior, you know, it just, you got to move on without him.
I love every
the young
of
Benny Sapp kid.
I love every minute of it because he's Winfield's kid. No, I'm just kidding. No, I hear you.
But
it's rough.
So I guess you got to get Benny Sapp and the other guy up to speed and put them in and get them some experience. Hopefully you're going to have to burn a red shirt probably. So, you know, it's just he flashes so well. Was it a non-contact foot injury? Was that it? Something like that?
Yeah.
So, So what do? You move forward. There's on the bright side, you've got Thomas Rush. Now, I think he's a linebacker. Showed really well in the first couple games. You think you're set at linebacker, but I'm not so sure about Barber. Seems a little slow. I don't know. So, good thing we're on a bye week, and we can talk about homecoming in Iowa. They should be charged up for that game. And you know, home game, so seems like they play pretty well at home. A win against Iowa would be a nice thing to have around here. So, and I think it's possible to get them coached up and ready to go. So, yeah, it's defensively, like you said, the first – part of it was decent, but once you get down like that and you're running against an option and you don't know you're not experienced enough to see the reads in an option and you don't stay home, you're going to give up 80, 60, 50, 40 yard runs. So yeah, once I saw the game, I kind of knew what to expect. To be honest, I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched probably till the third quarter and I saw all I needed to see.
I don't blame
you. Let's move on to Iowa and hopefully, you know, a nice win there would be something.
Yeah, and just a little quick stat note, just to keep an eye on Thursday night for the Vikings, Todd Gurley, his highest average per carry is behind the right tackle, okay? It's 8.6. right down the Gulliver, it's 5.8, but 8.6 right tackle, just to keep it in mind. But I'd love to keep the conversation going, but I got to pay the bills. So we're going to get out of here. Any last words, sir?
No, let's hope for a good finish against the Rams, and the Gophers can get healthy and ready to go.
There you be. Enjoy the games. Let's hope we can get a W tomorrow night. We'll be back next week. Peace. Later.